Jesus, thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you're not a God that looks on the outward appearance. Lord, you're the God that looks on the heart. Lord, I thank you, God, that you would instill in your people today a spirit as that man that bowed his head and struck his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, I thank you. We stand in awe of your goodness. Lord, I thank you that you've gathered us together with a people that truly by your grace you've put in a praise in their heart. Lord, a joy for your grace. A thankfulness, Lord, yes, for your mercy. Lord, a praise and a glorying, Lord God, that we are your workmanship. That, Lord, in ourselves we can do nothing. That, Lord, you've encouraged us, cease from your own works. Cease from your own works and enter into the rest of God. Lord, I thank you that, again, you just want the praise and thanksgiving. Lord, you don't ask us to change because we can't do a thing. But you're the God that changes us from glory to glory into the very image of you. And it's all by the word of your grace. The word of your grace, as you said, that builds us up. Lord, that gives us the inheritance. Oh, that separates us unto God. Oh, Lord, that wonderful sanctified life. That, Lord, just takes us right on out of the cares of this life. Jesus, I thank you. Lord, I'm encouraged this morning that, Lord, you've brought healing here today. Lord, there's a balm in Gilead. Lord, whatever it would be in a mind, in a body, in a family, in a child, in a young person, in an elderly person, Lord God. Hallelujah. I'm the Lord thy God that healeth all thy diseases. Lord, help us to call upon the name of the Lord. Thank you, God, for that healing power. Lord, thank you that you've promised where we gather in your name, you are in the midst of us. We give you the praise, the glory, and honor. Lord, enlighten the eyes of our understanding of the beauty of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Exodus chapter 12. We're going to a sweet place of scripture here where God encouraged them, put the blood on the doorposts. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I love that. I thank God for the blood on my home. I've seen his mercy and grace, the power of his goodness, time and time again. Oh, what a deliverer is our God. But here in Exodus 12, verse 12, he says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. I thank the God for Memorial Day. And I do. I thank the Lord as we began today. This nation that God has given us, the brave soldiers, the ones that have given their lives, the ones that are right now, again, being encouraged to help protect the unique freedoms that we enjoy in this precious nation that God has given. But I want us to understand that that is a memorial that will end. That is a memorial that will have its last day. But what we are reading of here is our everlasting memorial. What we're reading of here is the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, forever. And today I rejoice, praise God. And I believe this will be a rejoicing for all of us in the all-powerful blood that delivers me and delivers me and delivers me and delivers me and will keep on delivering me, praise be to God, even off the face of this place. And praise God, it delivers me from all my troubles. And I'm talking about personal, my personal, and your personal memorials to God, and those memorials to God forever. See, I'm going to praise him for his grace forever. I'm going to praise him for his mercy forever. Hallelujah. See, the word of God says that he is searching right now. The Father is searching for the true worshipers. See, not someday, but right now. The true worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. And I love that because it's so pure, it's so exact, it's so precise. The Holy Spirit is the one that sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. He wants us to praise him for his love. He wants to praise him, us to praise him and thank him for, Lord, you love me. You absolutely love me. You care for me. Everything about your word, praise God, is given for the praise and the glory of your grace. But the one place that that resides is in the vessels of the Lord, isn't it? Isn't it amazing and marvelous? See, and you think that to be to the praise and the glory of his grace, let the Lord put this together for you today. It would have to be the thing that needed grace. Amen? And what really is grace? We understand grace is undeserved. Mercy is something that not only you didn't deserve it, you deserve something completely the opposite of it. Okay? So, again, to the praise and the glory of his grace, to the praise and the glory of his strength, to the praise and the glory of his ability, to the praise and the glory of his majesty, to the praise and the glory of his purpose and good purpose working together for its good in my life. Amen. That's our God. To the praise and the glory of his grace. Hallelujah. But what we have here today is we have personal, miracle-filled deliverances. Not only to them, but to us. You know those personal, miracle-filled deliverances? Or have you already forgot about them? Come on now. We're just like these folks. See, this was such a glorious time right here, but my goodness, you gave them not even a day or two, you gave them an hour and they forgot what God did. They began to worry about what the next trial was, and instead of rejoicing about the deliverance of God that always is. And oftentimes, as the Lord knows us so well, you need to praise me. You need to count your blessings. You need to thank the Lord for your deliverances and remember those things. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're going to need them because you're going to be at times all your life that you're going to need to encourage yourself in the Lord. Because nobody else is going to know how to encourage you. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that does it. And he reminds you of those things. He says, honey, do you remember this? Do you remember when we had that appointment? And this appointment and that appointment? When you thought it was over, when everything was done, when everybody was against you, when you thought you failed so miserably, there's no way to get up, there's nothing that's going to repair this but God. And he's done it time and time again for us. And I don't want to be one of these murmuring ones that forgets what God has done. Let this be a memorial to you, the faithfulness of God. Praise the Lord. Every one of these deliverances, brothers and sisters, you know it's brought you to the knowledge of him. It's brought praise to your lips. It's brought praise be to God, the overwhelming heart of thankfulness and awe that you have to God today. See, don't let the enemy get you into thinking about the problem that faces you right now. Begin to praise the Lord that he's the deliverer that's delivered you every single time. This is the God, praise the Lord, that says, you are more than a conqueror through Christ, me, that loves you. Isn't that wonderful? You're more than a conqueror. The victory's already been won. How could he be more clear? Amen? Walk through it. I put the giants in the land. Isn't that something? I put the trials in your life. I put the afflictions there. Maybe the sickness that you're facing right now, the thing in your household, maybe the job situation. All of these situations, I place them in that land. Do you believe God? Come on now. Believe God. See, brothers and sisters, this is so wonderful. We need to encourage ourselves in these deliverances. We need to remind ourselves again how many times was God faithful in our lives. And never forget that Jesus cares. That he's always on time and he always delivers. He's not on your time. He's on his time. His time. And what does he love? He loves patience. How does he work patience? Through tribulation. Amen. Come on, let's know it. Amen. And just like Brother James said, oh, count it all joy when you're in manifold temptation. Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy? Oh, my. I think we need at least another hour or two here today. But I'll tell you what, we've all got these stories, don't we? Yes, you do. And I thank God that you share them with people, and you should share them with people. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Know these things. These are great deliverances. And why wouldn't we have great deliverances in our lives? He's the author and finisher of our faith. Think of that. God personally writing, if you will, like a mini Bible in each one of us. It's the truth. Do you not think he cares for you like he cared for Abraham, or he cared for Jacob, or he cared for Isaac, or Esther, or Rebecca? Come on now. You know he cares for you. The thing is though, we're in this time. We're in this weakened flesh. And the only way we get out of the constraints of time and out of this weakened flesh is by his Spirit. Amen. And it's the truth. It takes us right out of it. See, what does the Word of God says? Where's our citizenship right now? It's in heaven, isn't it? Amen? Where are you truly seated right now? The Word of God tells you, in the heavens in Christ. I've said that to people. Say, well, I see you right here. I said, sure you do. But I know where I'm seated. And see, what God thinks and what God says, that's what counts. But see, that's the problem, is I begin to think as man thinks, and I'm going to be way, way down here. I'm going to be rooted down here. I'm going to be absorbed with the cares of this life. I'm going to pick up the weights of this life. I'm going to think that, oh, I'm constrained and confined by what we call man's reality. But see, the thing that the Lord's encouraged my life, I want to live God's possibility. God's possibility. And you know what? Through Christ, all things are possible. I'm not limited by what man thinks. I am, praise God, walking in the power of what God wills. And I believe it. I believe the Lord for my life. I believe that God will walk me through the land. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've experienced Red Sea moments. I have. It's been wonderful to see them. And I thank God that I need to remind myself in them. I've seen the Lord do many things, and especially even as of late. I've had people, and I'm telling you, I witnessed to you, in my foolishness, I put myself in situations where I believed I was going to help somebody, and they were going to take my life. And I saw God stop that right there. I saw God take me in places, and I know that my mom witnessed this to me. Said, honey, the reason they didn't touch you is they saw fire. They saw God's fire. I want to be a fiery one. Now, I do want to have wisdom, and I don't want to tempt God. I don't go stand on the train track here and say, well, God, stop the train. But I'm going to tell you something. There's times I don't make the right decision. There's times that, you know what, I really wasn't thinking. But I'm so thankful that God's hand was still holding me. Isn't that wonderful? And see, that's how God does that. And I've seen God even beyond me, because as you grow on and grow in the love of God, he challenges you in different ways. And he challenges you with those that you love the most. And he does. And oh, how he challenges a daddy with his children. And I've seen him deliver my children. I've seen them deliver their dad from worrying about their children. I've seen them deliver the dad not to give up, but to stand, withstand, and having done all to stand. And for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That we don't go in there as I don't know if we've coined it or not, but there's no such thing as responsible sinning. There just isn't. There's no such thing as responsible sinning. Now, if you're going to sin, let's do it responsibly. Chew on it for a while. I don't want to have that in my home. I get it. You know, and brothers and sisters, I want you to understand. Don't try to make your life some rigid box. I don't know what liberties that you have. But I'm talking about liberties. And I don't want my liberty to stumble a brother either. I don't. You understand that? There's liberties that God has graced my heart with and things. But let me tell you something. I don't want sin reigning on my life. But I don't want to be a head case either thinking about it. Because if I start to think about it, you know what? Probably should just leave it alone. If it starts to mess with my head, I probably need to walk on by that house. What do you think? Amen? He's the deliverer. We got to get on this. I've seen him deliver my body from sickness. I've seen him, praise God, deliver me, as I mentioned, from my stupidity. Recently, I'll have to rat on myself. I'll tell you right now. I got myself lost at night in a freezing forest. But God. Oh, yeah. Didn't you know I was Jeremiah Johnson? I didn't realize that was Joey Snodgrass. I don't know what happened, but I got lost. But God. All right, see? It's not that I'm confessing my sins in front of my brothers, but I'll tell you a little bit about my stupidity and God's faithfulness. How's that? But see, the deliverance is for you, even, as we say, my family in God, the joints of the body. It's been a privilege, and I thank the Lord. You know, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Amen. And I believe him. When God encourages us to pray, I thank the Lord that I have seen and witnessed. And not that anything's hard for God, but I thank the Lord. I've seen him heal people from cancer. I've seen him heal people from every type of disease that there's been. I thank God that I know he's healed you from stuff you don't even know that you had. I thank the Lord that I've seen the Lord use financial loss to bring the greatest eternal gain to a household. I'm witnessing to a brother and sister right now, the opportunity of a lifetime, truly, is to allow finally the Lord to let you get over your nonsense and start to increase you with the internal wealth of God. Yeah. You got to hone in. That peace and joy and thankfulness and harmony in a home that praises the Lord together, nothing can buy that. That is the greatest. Praise God. And then you let God go on. I've seen the Lord save marriages that everybody said was over. I've seen him do it. I've seen him pull young people out of the clutches of the devil's drugs and alcohol. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't give up praying. If those things are still going on in a life, let me tell you something. Trust God. Trust God for that. And wait upon the Lord. You know, you need to wait upon the Lord. You just abide, and God is faithful. He knows what he's doing. Those infirmities will last just as long as he's going to last that infirmity. Amen. Know these things, so we'll trust God with you on it. But once again, this is where it all just kind of turns up. That's how God does it. There's always something more for us. There's always exceeding great and precious promises. Brother Paul, he knew God's deliverances probably like nobody else. If you read about the Apostle Paul, he boasted in the Lord. He was delivered from shipwrecks and beatings and scourgings and persecutions and afflictions, a day and the night in the deep, and how God brought him back all the time. He said, and the Lord delivered me out of them all. And the Lord delivered me out of them all. I mean, it's so amazing that you read about our brothers and sisters in the Lord and how definite and confident, praise God, the Lord wants us to be. This wasn't just given to Paul. This wasn't just given to Abraham. This wasn't just given to David. This is given to us. He gave us the word of truth. He's given us the word of his grace. These are our exceeding and precious promises. And I thank God, though, even though the Lord delivered him out of all of these things, if you go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, once again, And I love to think about, as you read about somebody's life in the Lord, Brother Paul at this time had known the Lord and walked with God for 30 years. He wasn't just a newly born Christian. 30 years. Knew that the Lord had called him the chosen vessel unto me. That he was the chief of sinners, because remember how we started the day out here about grace? Isn't that amazing? The mystery that was hid from all the prophets and all, was made known to Paul, who happened to be the chief of sinner. Isn't that great? I just love that. He took the one that was the most wicked and gave him the crowning jewel message to show that it's only and all by the grace of God. That I can't merit a thing. That thanks be to God, Jesse's got a chance. Praise the Lord. And you better say that too. Thank the Lord. I've got the power of his might behind me to win his very best. Because I know we're all messed up. You can't fool the Lord. Don't fool yourself. And you're not fooling me. He chose the weak. He chose the lowly. Amen. And we rejoice in these things. Praise God. As brother prayed, not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble. Didn't say not any. But not many, So think of these things and praise him for it. But Brother Paul here in Philippians 3, 7 and 8, after everything that pertained to his life, he sums it up right here. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Always remember this, that word excellency, it means superior in rank. That high calling of God in Christ Jesus, we're going to be there in just a minute, but it means there's nothing that matters at all. It's all loss, but for me, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, it says here, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. Everything that pertained to my life, it's all right here. I count it all dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ to win him. Once again, 30 years walking with the Lord. We're coming to the end of his life here. And what he's asking the Lord is, Lord, it's all for naught except I win you. A man that knew he could never be separated from the love of Christ. A man that knew, praise God, that you talk about where he was seated in the heavens in Christ. He knew his citizenship was in heaven. We know that, praise God, there was a pressing. There was something, the much the more, that Paul was talking about. And Paul, praise God, he's saying this. Even though I do remember, even though I will never forget these things. He says it over here in verse 13. There's one thing I do. Look at that. One thing I do. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You know, if there was a one thing I do, I think I'd like to do that which Paul did, since the Bible says to follow Paul as he followed Christ. Amen? So we better pay attention when he said, the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, he wasn't there saying, well, the one thing I do is I want to build a big church. He didn't say the one thing I do is I'm going to just preach the gospel to every creature under the sun. It became real personal to Paul, didn't it? The greatest thing that he could witness of was the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that he was called to. Isn't that something? The greatest witness and testimony, brothers and sisters, that you can be is the same way right here. The one thing I do, run and run well. Finish with the full course. You know, that finish with that, again, finish that course. And finish with that full joy. Finish. Hallelujah. That's the testimony. That, praise God, is the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says it again in Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, all of those great deliverances, if you know the word of God, all of these, if you will, memorials to God for each one of these individual lives by faith, the miracles that were done, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, finally wraps it up here in verse 33. Let's read together Hebrews 11, 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. But tell you what, there's some encouragement there. Be patient in the trial. I want a better resurrection. How about you? And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. Amen. I pray by the grace of God, you're letting the Spirit witness to you to say amen. Now, brothers and sisters, look what it says here to us. After all those things, after all those exceeding great miracles, and I'm going to tell you something. This is speaking to us, miracles that could never be exceeded in our natural lives. I've read through things, you read through 11, you haven't seen all those things in your natural life. You haven't been down those roads. You haven't seen, in a sense, those deliverances specifically. But I'm going to tell you something. In surmising all of those incredible miracles by faith, it says, yet there's a better thing for you. You ever thought about that? I'm telling you, you want to spend a good Memorial Day weekend? Go read through Hebrews 11. Read about all those things that God's able for in your life. But then he gets to it all and he says, now really pay attention to this, honey. Without you, all these cannot be made complete. I'm giving you a better thing. I'm giving you a better promise. It's greater. It's more exceeding. And it's more exceeding than all of these deliverances, even in total. And that is a fact. And we better pay attention, or I'll tell you what. One way or another, let me tell you something. You're going to be groaning for God and praising him and calling out to God in a way that, I'm telling you, you don't even understand how you'll be calling out to God. And it's going to come one of two ways for every Christian in this realm right now. You're either going to be praising him and glorying him that you're with him face to face at the first trump. Or you're going to be left behind here praising him and glorying him and saying, Lord, get me out of here. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Oh, yes. It's one of two. It's one of two. It's so clear. You're either going to be ruling and reigning jointly in the midst of the throne, or you're going to be waving a palm known as the innumerable multitude. That's the word of the Lord. One star differeth from another in glory, every man in his own order. There's ranks in the resurrection. Why did Paul take 30 years? And here he finally says, there's one thing I do. He wasn't working on his salvation. He knew that that was taken care of, but he was, praise God, hoping and longing for salvation with eternal glory. Yes. So here it is, the better thing for us. So once again, what is that better thing? If all these miracles listed cannot be exceeded in our lives, well, I'm going to tell you, those miracles can't compare with the greatest miracle. Yes, the excellency of the knowledge that Brother Paul spoke about. The miracle, brothers and sisters, of the likes of us, and yes, the likes of us, changing from glory to glory. It's called the transformation of the sons of God. Transformation into manifestation. Isn't that something? Transformation into manifestation. I love that. And his grace is doing it. Grace stripping me of me, and praise God, and he's increasing. That's what was so wonderful at that table last night. That man, he come on over and he said, that's, you know, he just said, again, I thank the Lord, complimenting me, but truly telling him right as he was doing that, it ain't me. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. I said, oh man, his name's Jesse, just like mine. I said, Jesse, let me tell you something. Us Jessies, we've got things. We've got problems. But see, the thing about this Jesse that I've realized, I'm praising him for his grace. I'm praising him for his mercy. Oh, and the joy, how rich he's made me. I'm beginning to get ready for the exceeding riches of his grace because I'm taking that grace right now. And it is transforming me just like it's transforming you and you and you. Praise be to God, it's because of the word of his grace that's doing it. He's transforming us into the people not only that we never thought we could be. You didn't even know this person. You never knew you could be. But he's given you a vision of that. Isn't that wonderful? Just like when he took Paul. He took him up there. And Paul said, oh my goodness, I'll tell you what. I glory in that man. God gave him a vision of that perfect man, that complete man, this better thing for us man. He gave him that vision of that fully grown, mature saint. It was so wonderful. And then the Lord immediately encouraged him. Paul, it's going to come through your weakness. Paul, it's going to come through the infirmities that I'm going to give you. Paul, you know how you tell me about that thorn that's in your flesh? That you said, oh Lord, I've sought you three times. Let's get away from this. I don't want this. This isn't helping me. I know this is hindering me. I know me better than you, God. I know it's hindering me from worshiping you. And the Lord said, oh, Paul, you better settle down right now. I remove that thorn from you, son. You're not going to be talking to me. You're not going to be praising me. You're not going to be seeking me. You're not going to be running after me. I remove that thorn from you, Paul, and you're going to get puffed up. You're going to think you're something. I need you to understand, honey, you're nothing. I'm everything in you. And when I'm everything in you, let me tell you something. That's something for me. Remember the things that he has done. Amen. But God help us. Let's not miss the best part. Let's not miss that best part. Let us hone in on that better part. Like Mary at the feet of Jesus. What do you think? Praising him and thanking him and weeping there. The mercy, the love, the grace that she was loved with. I'll tell you this, and I've said it a few times before. I have many memorials to God that I will never forget, nor him. But I'll tell you, one of the greatest ones, 19 years old. And I think about the young people that are here. Think about my kids and all. 19 years old, this guy right here, walking through a parking lot. You'd think everything was going right, but everything was wrong. There was such a distraught heart that I had at that time. Most people never knew. Because I could hide it pretty good inside. But one person knew, and that was God. And I was walking across that parking lot, and I was so miserable. I knew the Lord filled with the Holy Ghost since I was 13. Knew about the bridal truth and things. But then grace came down. Before I could lay my hand upon that door, I remember I was on my knees in that parking lot just praising to God. And I'll tell you, my memorial to God happened that very night. It was three words that he gave me by his grace to say, I will go. And he's been carrying me ever since, Bob. Oh, I've been dumb sometimes and got a little distracted. But my passionate lover carried me all the way through. And he can do that. He can do that at any age. But I'm telling you, as a young person, let him do it right now. Let him do it. Visiting with a young man yesterday doing some work in my home. And, you know, he stopped and he said, he kind of looked at me. He said, did you ever party? And I shook my head. I said, oh, man. I said, if you're asking me if I did dumb things, yes. Real dumb. But I don't want to give you any ideas. You're dumb enough, you know. But you know, when he got a hold of me, like Bob played about the dance today, that's when the party began. That's when it really began. That's when joy flooded my soul. And that's when I just knew that it was well. Oh, there's been some major things that have come up. Red seas, you betcha. Fiery furnaces, you know it. Lion's den, I'm not going to say bring them on, but they're there. But as I was witnessing to one of my brothers that's in, boy, I'll tell you what, he's got a host of lions around him. I said, son, you're going to praise the Lord for the deliverance. He said, oh, yeah. But I said, get the double portion. Praise him now. Praise him now. Amen. So all I can tell you is this. We've had a good day in the Lord. And I know by the grace of God, you've had a monumental time with the Lord at one time or another, maybe even had another one right now. So by the grace of God, as we sing, brother, what song we're going to sing here?
226 in the brown book.
Come and thank him for those memorials. Praise be to God.